Okay, in Ksubis, Nunches Hamid Beis, in the Shatan Sin Gemara 58b3, it's the middle of the page. Okay, the Mishnah before was discussing if somebody makes, you know, we said before, the wife works, doesn't support her. Then, if she, and it said you have to work like five sela, whatever the amount she has to work. So the question over here was, if the husband goes and is Mekadesh, her work. So the Mishnah said on the same page, it doesn't become Hegedish, because it's not his yet. But the Maisar, if it's over the five, and then we learned the Mishnah like this. The husband supports the wife, therefore she has to work and bring in money. Anything above the five sela that the chum make her work, so then also goes to the husband if he gives her a ma kesef, this coin, the silver coin, a week for spending money. So there's two parts of her work. There's a mandatory work that because of that she gets fed. And the second thing is, this is what the Gemara is learning now meanwhile. The Gemara is going to change it soon. But, and what she works extra, that the husband gets because he gives her a coin. Okay? So the Mishnah said that then, before, that if the guy consecrates his wife's mandatory earnings, it doesn't become Hegdish. Okay? And the Gemara is going to explain why. Okay? Okay, if they belong to the husband, why can't he make it Hegdish? And we're going to see in a second. What happens if the extra earnings? So Rabbi Meir says it is Hegedish, it could become Hegedish, and Rabbi Yechon Sandler says it can't become Hegedish. Okay, that was what the Mishnah said. But the Gemara brought before, and this is what's relevant to this Gemara now. Rav Huna said right after the Mishnah that a wife, in the name of Rav, a wife could say to her husband, don't support me, and I won't work for you. Normally, she works for him and he supports her, or he supports and she works for him, that brings in money. But the woman has the ability to say, you know what, I don't support me and I don't want to give you any of my money.
So we're not talking about like Amma Ria right now.
What?
Not talking about Amma
Ria. No, we're talking about a wife. It's called a wife.
To work for
her. Yeah. She has to bring in money, not as a slave. Oh. She has a profession, weaving or whatever they used to do in those days.
She works for the husband, laundering.
Laundry, okay. No, some of them were not money launderers. They used to launder people's clothing.
Oh.
Whatever. So he says like this, what did Rav Huna hold? Rav Huna says like this, the main takana was for the woman's sake. Like we learned last time, something's beneficial to her, then she could say, you know what? I don't want it. If it's for him, she can't say, I don't want it, because it's not for her, it's for him. Okay? So the question is like this. When the Gemara says that the husband has to support the wife, and because of that she brings in money, what's the chicken and what's the egg? So Rav Huna, the Gemara said at the beginning of the Gemara, that Rav Huna holds that the Chachamim really made, he has to support her. That means the benefit was for her. Because he supports her, therefore the money goes to him. Therefore, if this takana was for her benefit, she can say, I don't want it. If you say, though, the reverse, that takana was made for the man, that means a woman has to work for the man. She has to bring in money. Working for the man, she has to bring in money. Because of that, he has to feed her. Right? Then she can't say, I don't want this takana, because it wasn't made for her. It was made for the husband to get what she earns. Right? So the parable, the Gemara said like this. Rav Huna Merav says, a woman could say, I don't want your support, and I'm not working for you. Like, she has a great job. She's bringing a lot of money. What does she need to do work for the husband? She could say, don't support me, I'll support myself, and I'm not giving you any money. Okay, now the Gemara says this. Upliga the Reish Lakish. Exactly the middle of the page. Upliga the Reish Lakish, Rav Huna is arguing with Reish Lakish. What does Reish Lakish say? Don't say the reason for Rav Meir. That Rav Meir says, the extra, he could be Magdish. Remember the extra money that she makes, the husband could make Magdish. is not because kasaver adam makdish davar shlei b'leilam, that a person could consecrate something that doesn't exist yet. Don't say that's what Rav Meir holds. What does the Rishtokim say he holds? Ella, time of Rav Meir, Rav Meir says like this, Miteich sheyachol l'cheifa l'maisi adel, because he can force her to work for him, that means Rav Meir holds that that takana was for the man. That the world, really the man can force the wife to work for him, to bring in money. So then, Nasa Ka'imalei, it's considered as if he says, Yikachu yodecha le'isehem. Your hands should be hegdish. Meaning, like, let's explain this, because this is coming up now in the Gemara and the, right away. There's an argument in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, but many places. Can I sell you something that doesn't exist yet? No. Okay? Can I make hegdish something that doesn't exist yet?
No.
Well, 1 minute. One opinion says you can't. Because if it's not existing in the world yet, how can I sell it to you? How can I, it's basically, by the way, this is all the concept of what's in the stocks, commodity, futures. You're selling futures. According to Tata, futures is a big thing. Okay, if you're allowed to do it or not. Because how can I sell you something that doesn't exist yet? No, Chana said, she promised that when I have a son, I'll make him work in the Beis HaMikdash.
Isn't that the same?
Yeah, but it wasn't that she did it. She brought, after he was born, she brought him. She made that vow. Okay? So now like this. He says, like, Rav Meir says, you could be Makdish the extra money that he's giving you. Because Rav Meir says, you could force it to work. Therefore, Reish Lakish explains Rav Meir meaning, it's not because he holds you could sanctify something that's not in the world yet. Really, Rav Meir holds you can't. This is what the Reish Lakish is saying now. How can he make Hegdish the work that she didn't do yet? It's not in the world. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, he's not sanctifying the money that's going to come in later. He's sanctifying her hands to work the extra money for him. And the hands are in the world. The hands are in the world already.
It's very abstract.
Like, for instance, we learned this at the beginning of the parak, Taisa says over there. A guy gets married, right? He binds himself for the ksuba. Yeah, whatever the ksuba is. He has no money. How can he bind himself to pay a ksuba 200 zuz? The guy doesn't even have a penny. How can he write a ksuba and bind himself? So Taisus says the explanation over there is because he's not binding the money. The money doesn't exist yet. He's binding himself. He says, I am bound to pay you money.
Like a credit card, basically,
and
pay you in the future.
Yeah, but credit card is just a bill. Uh-huh. It's a loan, basically.
It's a loan. Okay.
Credit card is a loan. That's why there's ribbous problems with the credit cards.
Yeah.
The credit card pays the store, They lent you the money, so you have to pay it.
Right, it's kind of like you're promising to do something in the future to pay, not now, but sometime in the future.
But the vart is, hey, give him a Gemara. Oh, both of you, whoa.
Yeah.
So, Reish Lakish says like this, it's not because Rav Meir holds you can sanctify something that doesn't exist yet. What Rav Meir is saying, when he's saying what you will work and make is making it hegdish, is because he's binding her hands. What the hands work will become hegdish. How could he? Because he's not saying the money you make is hegdish. He's saying your hands, which exist now, for whatever they produce, will be hegdish. So he's doing it on the hands, not on the money.
The hand is doing something that doesn't exist.
No, the hand exists.
But he's
binding the hand. He's not binding the money. If I say the money you will make, the money you will make is hegdish. So the Shtokin said, no, there can't be. You can't make hegdish money that doesn't exist yet. Okay, to give you a simple example, I want to buy a field from you. I didn't buy it yet. Yeah? Can I say that field's hegdish? No, it's not mine. How can I make something? I can't make your stuff hegdish. As far as I'm concerned, it's non-existent. It's not in my world yet that I can make it hegdish. I can't come along as I am planning to buy it. See, if I buy it, when I buy it, I want to make it hegdish, then I could do it. Right? But you can't do it like this. So the Shlokish says, don't think why the mayor says the extra money could become hegdish. Is because my mayor holds you could be magdish something that doesn't exist in the world. No. He says like this, because the husband can force the wife to work for him, which means it's not for the wife's benefit, it's the husband's benefit that the Chachamim made the takana that she has to work for him.
Good old days.
Nasaka Emily Yigdashu Yodayich, your hands should be consecrated hegdish to the one who made them. So he's making your hands hegdish. Okay? So Gemara says, why does Rameir hold that money she will make can become hegdish? So Reish Lakish explained, because it's considered as if the guy said to the wife, even though he didn't say it. It's considered as if he said, I'm sanctifying your hands. Now, her hands don't belong to him. Right? But the work of her hands does belong to him.
When he gets married to her.
Yeah, well, don't mean she's married. So her hands don't belong to him. But if she has to work for him, that means the work of her hands belongs to him. But the hands already exist. So therefore you can make Agdish. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. But he didn't say that. He didn't say that the work of your hands are Hegdish. He says, you're... money that you, and Sigmar says no. Kiven the Shamina Meir Rameir, because Rameir already said somewhere else. Rameir says the following statement. Ein Adam Meitzi Dvarav Levatol. A person does not make a declaration in vain. Rameir says, a guy just doesn't say something in Haksa China. Okay? So obviously, when he says something, he wants it to work. If a guy says, the work of your hand is hegdish, or he says, or the way Amishta says the din, he says, what you will work, the money that comes in, I'm making hegdish. Right? So Gemara said, but it's not there in the world yet. So the mayor answered, it's like he said, your hands are hegdish. But the Gemara asked, but he didn't say that. So Gemara says, but Rav Meir in a different place says a general ruling that when a guy says a statement, he means he wants it to work. Right? If you can't sanctify something that doesn't exist yet, why is he saying it? Obviously, if he's saying it, he's saying it in a way that it should work. How is it going to work? So Gemara says, Reish Lakish said, if he says, I'm sanctifying your hands, for the work it will produce, so then the hands are holy.
And she lets her refuse this?
No, because Rav Meir says, Reish Lakish says, not like Rav Huna, that a woman can say, I don't want to work for you and don't support me. Oh. Reish Lakish says, a man can tell his wife, you got to work for me regardless. That's what Igmar is saying. He's arguing on Rav Huna. Rav Huna has said before in the name of Rav, a woman could say to the husband, you know what? I know you have to support me. I know what I earn goes to you. But you know what? I don't support me, and I don't want to give you what I earn. She has a right to say that.
Yeah,
according to Rav Huna. But Reish Lakish, Dugmar says, is arguing on that. Because Reish Lakish says, no. A husband could tell the wife, you have to work for me. Because the question, like we said before, when the Chachamim, bottom line is, there's two things equal. Everybody agrees The wife has to bring in money, and the husband has to support him. That's a given. That we know. The question is, what's the chicken and what's the egg? Meaning, did the Chachamim say the husband has to support the wife? That's the main takana. For her benefit. She must be supported. And because of that, the Chachamim said, listen, if he's supporting you, money that you bring in goes to him. That's one way of doing it. Then it's for her benefit. Correct?
Yeah.
Then if she wants to decline the penalty, so to speak, she wants to undo it, she could do it. Because it was for her benefit. Yeah. The other way of looking at it is no. The Chachamim said the woman's money goes to the husband. Because of that, he has to support her. So then it's a takana for the benefit of the man. Mm-hmm. The woman can't say, I don't want it. It's not her takana, it's the man's takana. But now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. This is a very interesting Gemara. The Shtokish said a statement, don't think that a mayor holds you can be mocked with something that's not in the world yet. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm sanctifying her hand, and her hand exists. But the Gemara is going to prove now, and a very interesting Gemara, by the way, that the Rameir holds you could give over something that doesn't exist yet. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rameir, the Savar, Rameir, the Shlokesh said a statement. You can't sanctify something that's not in the world. I'll show you that you could. Okay? What's the case? I'm Elisha, a guy says to a woman, these are weirdo cases, but they can happen. A guy comes over to a woman, a Jewish woman. Now, if a guy gives a Jewish woman, money, there's no kedusha. There's no kedusha between a Jew and a guy. Right? Not man to wife, not wife to, nothing. What happens? A guy is still a guy, but he's converting. So he says to the woman, gives her a ring or money, and he says, Areat Mukadashasli, you are kedushin to me after I convert. So now the question is, eventually he converts. There's no more kedushin given. Is the kedushin that he made as a guy, is it a valid kedushin?
I don't think so.
Well, Rameir holds it is. He's not Jewish yet, so in the world of kedushin, he's non-existent. Rameir says you could do it. You could sell something that doesn't exist yet. You can make kedushin hegdish something that doesn't exist yet. Well, let's see the Gemara. Tanya, Emel Yisha. The guy says to a woman during kedushin, "Harei at mekudeshesli lachet shez gayer." But he does a kedushin today, and he's still a guy. And he says to her, "You're mekudeshes to me after I convert." Or lachet shez is gayli after you convert. She's still a shiksa. He gives her a ring and says to the non-Jewish girl, "Harei at mekudeshesli after you convert." Now there's no question, if after they convert, he does the Kedushin again, of course it's valid. But the question is, if Kedushin wasn't done again, is that woman married to this guy or not?
Well, I can't guarantee somebody's going to convert.
That's right, that's honestly.
But if he does, when it happens. You're right, if she doesn't convert, or he doesn't convert, then of course there's no Kedushin. The question now is, he converts. She converts. Or another case. The guy's a slave. He's still a slave. Not a Yiddish slave. A guy is a slave. Yeah? Then when he gets free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Mm-hmm. So this guy's a slave. He goes over to a full-fledged Yiddish woman. And he says to her, "Here, I have a good slave. Give it in front of two witnesses and everything. After I get freed. Or, after you get freed." Or a guy says to a woman, "Listen, this is a doozer. Lachet shiyom is bailach. Woman's married."
After you get divorced.
After he'll die.
She's a married woman, huh?
You're married to me after you get divorced.
No, he says to her, she's a married woman.
Yeah.
Hareyat mekadeshesli after your husband dies.
What about divorce?
Same thing. Is the kedushin valid after the husband dies and divorces her?
One second.
After your sister dies. What does this mean? You're not allowed to marry a man. A man cannot marry a woman and her sister. Correct? Even if he divorces his wife, he cannot marry the sister. It's biblically forbidden. Like the whole question of Rachel and Leah, right? Okay. So a guy cannot marry a woman and her sister. But if the wife dies, then he can marry the sister. Okay, the Torah says, Isha l'chaysa l'sikoch, he can't take a woman and her sister, l'tzerla b'chayeha, and when she's alive. So if you just divorce her, your wife, you can't marry her sister as long as your ex is still alive.
But if she dies.
But if she dies, so then you can marry the second woman. So a guy comes over to a woman, he's married to her sister, okay? Hey, listen, the situation could be a normal situation. The woman's dying, the husband's dying. Okay? And this guy wants to get this woman. Okay? He doesn't have to be a bad guy. He likes this woman, he wants to marry her. Now she's married to somebody, but the husband's dying.
For the sake of children.
Whatever. So he says to the woman, Hadeh Mekadeshusli, he does the Kedusha now, not later. He does the whole Kedusha now. And he says, Hadeh Mekadeshusli, after your husband dies. Or after your sister dies. Or after your Yibum, the guy's supposed to marry Yavam, gives Chalitza. But he didn't do Chalitza yet. Rav Meir Eimer Mekudeshes. Rav Meir holds in all these cases, Mekudeshes.
Now or later on?
No, now you can't.
That's what I'm saying, later on.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to do another Kedushin. That means the Kedushin is retroactive from the time the Kedushin was made.
Wasn't there a case where someone said to a woman, he said, you're Mekadesh me on the condition that you chew about in the future or something like that?
No, he said, on the condition I'm a tzaddik. So even if he's a Rosha, maybe the chew.
Now, did he pay the money to the girl of the value at this time, or did he wait till after...